The following is an AI reading of my blog called
Financing Content Creators and Podcasting 2.0.
It is for people who don't have time to read blogs and can listen to podcasts though. So, let's go!
As a teenager, I founded one of the first Czechoslovak web ezine, which would be something like a blog today. It was called Netechik. Later, I started writing a column about security for PC Review magazine and then Linux and Open Source along with Peter Palach and other people. During this time, the internet was being born, and I wondered if it was just a hobby or if it could be something one could do for a living. Of course, PC Review paid me royalties for my articles, which allowed me to be a cafeteria king in high school. I could buy whatever I wanted in the cafeteria. And even for writing Netechik, I was practically paid by an ISP called Easternet, who supported creators because they couldn't sell internet access if there was no content on the internet in Slovak. Since then, I have been interested in the question of rewarding creators on the internet. There are many models, and new ones are being invented. Ads have basically changed from let's hang an ugly banner for a month right at the top to auction, based display ads based on user profiles and big data / artificial intelligence with really sophisticated targeting. In my book, Veľký reštart, so far only in Slovak, I write, the internet is still a communication tool turned into drops of dopamine injections mixed with ads. We have come to believe that everything on the internet must be free, so we don't even feel nauseous when we open such a free site full of flashing ads. We walk down a virtual street full of freely placed advertising flyers, smiling at us, selling us hair shampoo and a new car. Occasionally, a spam-collecting robot walks down the street and dumps these flashing flyers into the trash. The World Wide Web in the 1990s may have looked primitive compared to today's pixel-perfect design sites, with their tweaked colors and user-friendly controls. However, there were no supermarket chains attacking our baser instincts with ads like bananas for €1, discounts up to 30% only until Sunday, the best washing machine on the market. Affordable accounting software. In my other book, Hackney Saw, I discuss trying to turn this model around. The philosophy of the internet, or at least the web, is that we will provide you with services for free, but in return, you will watch ads and we will sell your attention to advertisers. There are several problems with this approach, although it is a legitimate business model. One issue is that the rewarding of authors goes through intermediaries. This is what the Brave browser aims to change, although I stopped using Brave and now use Firefox, while also teaching how to set it up for privacy. Brave tokenizes our attention using the cryptocurrency BAT Basic Attention Token. We can thus choose to directly reward content creators when browsing the web. And if we are content authors and authenticate ourselves, we can automatically earn this cryptocurrency from users who use Brave. If you want, you can turn on ads through Brave on sites that support BAT and you can reward authors this way, either with your attention or directly with tokens. It's sort of like unforced paywall where you simply pay the content creators according to your browser settings. And Brave blocks other ads, advertising a nuisance, can it be avoided? A friend told me about a Google experiment where you could turn off ads on the internet but not by blocking them through your browser, but by standing on the other side of the equation and paying for the ad space yourself. I mean, like this, if you open a site that is funded through advertising, a quick auction of ad space occurs. If you choose a flat fee payment option, the service provider will represent you in an auction to display a transparent one-by-one square that is no advertising. This approach benefits the website creators as if you had viewed the advertisement, but without actually seeing it. Instead, you pay the site creator for the ad space. Notably, this method may have been used to develop the first micropayment system supporting content creators through ad auctions. It's unclear whether Google still conducts such experiments or if they are available in today's marketplaces. However, YouTube Premium offers a similar service, offering a monthly flat rate that eliminates all ads on YouTube without any hacking required. Additionally, subscribers gain access to an ad-free version of YouTube Music. Personally, I opt for this product as pre-video advertisements disrupt my quality of life. However, my browser blocks most ads anyway. Nowadays, I still stand by content Creators, as a creator myself, I know firsthand how deserving they are. It's an immense amount of work, so how can we reward them directly? One way is through patrons. The concept isn't new. For centuries, art patrons have supported budding artists, investing in their growth and eventually profiting when those works gain value. This secondary market also bolsters the primary one by collecting pieces from an artist who you believe will be worth more in the future. You not only invest in them, but also end up with artwork you genuinely appreciate. In this digital era, platforms like Patreon have democratized this form of support. Subscribing to creators on such platforms allows fans to provide direct financial backing. This way, we can ensure that content creators receive the rewards they deserve for their hard work while still enjoying the art or content ourselves. Singer Amanda Palmer discusses how she gets her fans to support her through Patreon and creates music based on their contributions. By starting at just $1 per month, anyone can become a patron this way. This allows people to feel like they're supporting an author inexpensively. As a result, content creators from various fields, including blogs, comic books, musicians, philosophers, podcasters, and even professional anarchists, can receive direct support from their audience. Although Patreon may seem like a novel concept, paid newsletters and other forms of investment have been around for quite some time, even before the internet era. Art auctions and NFTs. In addition to traditional auction houses, art is now also being auctioned online. This includes digital art as well. A new phenomenon called non-fungible tokens, NFT, enables this in an innovative, decentralized way. NFT is a type of cryptocurrency that represents a unique object such as a painting, for example. There's a delightful book on auctions and art, inspired by Damien Hirst's artwork, which was stuffed shark that sold at an auction for $12 million. Few people are aware that when it comes to auctions, individuals don't merely purchase the artwork itself. They also acquire the story and history behind the artist. It isn't simply a stuffed shark, it's a stuffed shark by Hirst. Very few people comprehend the immense effort required to reach a point where one can bid on a piece of art. Not just the artistic creation, but predominantly the marketing, communication with fans, exhibitions, travel, and so much more. A painting is seldom worth the time spent in crafting it. Instead, it's all about the artist's experience that led them there, along with their interactions with people, ensuring that the artwork doesn't end up in an obscure cafe in Veľký Kajartish, I wager. You have no clue where that is, and that's precisely the point. But rather gets sold at a prestigious auction, posts and upvoting. However, not every creation can be classified as art. How can individuals like bloggers, podcasters, meme creators, and makers of fascinating content earn a living? Traditional methods such as writing books or securing employment in journalism will likely persist, but relying on sales, subscriptions, and advertising might not be ideal for everyone. In an article discussing services that facilitate contributions to creators, I mention platforms like the Nodifunctur.org. These platforms enabled three actions: sending voluntary donations, unlocking portions of a blog post, or submitting an upvote. The upvotes were distributed among voters, with the initial vote automatically assigned to the content creator. This system allowed for investment in exceptional content while offering support simultaneously. The main page was generated based on the number of votes and time. To further contribute to this concept, I even developed software that I customized with successful authors' usernames. The software automatically voted on their content and thus, on the one hand, helped the author, on the other hand, made money because my vote was more important than the other votes since I was the first one. I wrote an article about this project, including open source code here, Podcasting 2.0. I've produced almost 60 episodes of my podcasts Riči o Život, Vesmír a Vobik in Slovak, and the Option Plus podcast. It's still a money-losing pastime for me, but better times are dawning. The big podcast list that some podcast apps draw from, PodcastIndex.org, introduced the concept of podcasting 2.0 and has already implemented it with the Lightning Wallet Breeze. Podcasts like blogs are decentralized, although there are also large platforms such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Unlike blogs, however, they have fairly well aggregated search. so you can usually find a podcast in your podcasting app by name. You don't have to go to any sites and Google it. Podcast Index offers its entire database for free through the IPFS protocol. This is a significant aspect of podcasting. While it was initiated by Apple with Pod in Podcast referring to their iPod player, the industry maintains a relatively decentralized structure. The reward mechanisms for podcast content vary greatly. The most common methods involve advertisements, either at the beginning or during the podcast itself. Patreon and similar platforms also provide regular support options. In return, listeners often receive ad-free podcasts, complete transcripts of episodes, the ability to ask questions, or even access to exclusive members-only episodes. An excellent example is Dr. Peter Attia's widely recognized podcast, The Drive. Some podcasters request voluntary support, although this approach hasn't been successful for everyone. My favorite podcast, Cypherpunk Bitstream, has found considerable success in this regard. Now, let's discuss Podcasting 2.0 and the Lightning Wallet. This is how podcast playback works in Breeze. Thanks to Lightning micropayments, we can directly support the author or authors of a podcast without any third parties involved. This could be based on the minutes spent listening to a specific podcast, such as 50 Satoshi per minute, which at the time of writing this article is approximately 2 cents per minute. If you'd like to provide more support for the podcast, whether it's simply because you want to, or if there's something in particular that you really enjoy, you can send a boost to the podcast. The default amount for a boost is set at 5,000 Satoshi, which equates to around $2, but this amount can be adjusted by both the author and the user. The process of boosting a podcast is straightforward. It's done directly from the podcast player that's integrated into the wallet itself. If you're interested in trying it out, you can install Breeze Wallet. Top up your Lightning balance with some information available in my course titled How to Use the Lightning Network for Payments Related to Products, Services, and Among Friends. In January 2023, an updated version was introduced. You can now install the Fountain FM app as well, which is a more advanced podcast player specifically designed for podcasting. It offers numerous features to enhance your listening experience. The app also allows you to earn to listen. Although this might seem appealing at first, it's primarily a cosmetic feature and won't provide substantial income, not even enough for an espresso in a year. Another great aspect of the app is that you can directly purchase Bitcoin using a credit card with a minimum amount set at 30 euros. This enables you to support your favorite podcasters easily. However, currently, only a small minority of users utilize apps supporting Lightning payments for podcasters. Even if 10% of my listeners installed such an app, it still wouldn't cover the expenses for hosting the server where I store my podcast content. Nevertheless, I appreciate being part of this experiment and exploring new possibilities. Breeze and Fountain are no longer the only apps offering rewards to podcasters through the Lightning Network. For a list of other applications with this feature referred to as VAL, you visit newpodcastapps.com. If you're interested in joining the podcast revolution, visit value4value.io for a tutorial on getting started. In the past, running your own Lightning node was necessary, but now there are providers who will rent one to you and allow you to withdraw your balance when needed. One great option is an app called AlbiHears How to Set It Up Without Any Prior Experience with Lightning. If you already have a Lightning node that's always online, not a mobile wallet, follow these steps to start accepting payments. Currently, the list of podcasts supporting this new model mostly consists of Podcast Index, org authors, and popular Bitcoin podcasts. So, what is the future of content? It's diverse. I don't believe there will be just one way of rewarding creators. Everyone has unique preferences, motivations, and relationships with their audience, leading to a variety of reward methods. Still, I'm glad to see experiments emerging that address this issue more comprehensively than let's stick an ad in the middle of the content. Want more content like this? *? Did you enjoy reading this blog? It is a chapter from my book titled Cryptocurrencies: Hack Your Way to a Better Life. Get it for even more amazing content. Discover more content similar to this one in my book, Cryptocurrencies: Hack Your Way to a Better Life. This guide is perfect for Bitcoin and cryptocurrency enthusiasts. Learn how to use the Lightning Network, accept cryptocurrencies, explore opportunities for different professions, handle various market situations, and improve your life using crypto. You can purchase it at my online store, accepting BTC, BTC, and XMR, as well as old-fashioned plastic or on Amazon.
Thank you for listening. I'm sorry for any possible quirks generated by the large language model or text-to-speech engine, but I think it is worth transferring these blocks into audio form for people who can't or don't have time to read. So I hope it was useful to you, and I would really appreciate if you used value for value podcasting apps to listen to this episode and stream me some sets or Boost. I read all the comments on the Boosts as well. So if you have any comment about this content, feel free to use Fountain.fm or any other app and boost this podcast. Thank you very much.